to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, October the 19th. I am your host, Tom Earnessy. We have a lot to talk about, especially after the debacle in London where the Miami Dolphins lost lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-20 on a last-second field goal by a kicker that was just signed off the street named Matthew Wright. It was a very, very disappointing game, to say the least, from the Miami Dolphins as a whole. But we got some stuff to talk about here on this Tuesday show. We first have to get into our sponsors. First of all, we have Manscaped. Obviously, go to manscaped.com, use promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% on your order, and get free shipping, as well as BetUS. You know, join us, Mike and I, every Friday. We either have an article or we're on YouTube discussing our picks for the weekend. I went 5-1 for the weekend, so I am making money. Please join us in making some money and go to BetUS. Use promo code DolphinsTalk and get 125% sign-on bonus. Use DolphinsTalk200 if you want to pay with crypto and get 200% sign-on bonus. So let's dive into the meat and potatoes of this game. We can't start any conversation without talking about the return of Tua Tagovailoa to the Miami Dolphins starting lineup after being out 3 weeks with broken ribs. He came back and looked good. There's no other word you can say. He looked good. When we look at overall, and if you're a listener of this show, you know I like to talk about PFF's grading and statistics and things like that, really to give you an idea of how they judge the game. Obviously, our eye test, my eye test, tells me that he had a strong performance. Yes, there were some throws that weren't very good, but I'm not sitting here to nitpick all the mistakes. We got to talk about the mistakes. We got to talk about the good. So let's start with the good. Tua Tagovailoa was the highest graded player on the team, offense, defense, special teams, in his week 6 return with an 83.9 overall grade. That was also his highest out of all his starts, all 12 of them, in his short NFL career. And one of the big things was the talk of the offensive line. With the offensive line, and with that being said, the pass blocking grades for the offensive line in this game was horrendous for the most part. And we're going to get to the good in regards to pass blocking grades. Malcolm Brown, he has been a breath of fresh air when it comes to blocking out of the backfield. He had the highest pass blocking grade at 85.7. Miles Gaskin had a good game. Normally, we don't see that from Miles, but he did as well with an 82 grade in regards to pass blocking. For the offensive linemen, Austin Jackson, 67.5. Not a bad performance. That's two consecutive weeks in regards of grades for pass blocking that he did okay when it came to guard. Now, I think I'm in camp with most everybody. Austin Jackson isn't the answer here on the offensive line. He's just not. But who are you going to play at this stage right now? Who are you playing? Greg Mance, 65.8, allowed one pressure. Not a bad performance there. Robert Hunt at 64.9. Durham Smythe, tight end, at 49.1. But this is where it gets a little concerning. Jesse Davis, it's a name we talk about each and every week on the show. 32.5 pass block grade for Tua's blindside, 32.5. And I was beating the Liam Eichenberg drum, talking about it for the last couple weeks on his performances. He was very promising versus Tampa. He was awful against Josh Allen and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Defense, he had a 14.7 pass block grade. Terrible. When they did give Tua a clean pocket, Tua was 24 of 30, 213 yards and two touchdowns with 118.5 passer rating. That's very nice. That's a very nice day with the pocket clean. But there was a lot of pressure coming from all directions on Tua Tagovailoa. You know, and we could talk about, at this point, we can talk about the good. I think overall he moved really well in the pocket. He made decisive plays with his legs when he needed to. He slid properly, which I think during the time that he was off, he was learning how to slide because his slides were great and he avoided contact and injury, which is obviously important. I think he made really great throws between 10 and 20 yards. He was pinpoint accurate. Sans the bad throw, which led to the interception. That was not a good read. And it was just the bad timing on the throw. I think he tried to force the issue. He flattened the ball and it came off his hand wrong. He tried to throw it over the defender. It didn't work. Bad throw. Bad decision. Can't do it. It didn't cost the team anything, but you still can't do it. Because that was right after a sack fumble from Christian Wilkins. So, again, things you just can't do in a football game. Tua's got to learn from that. But, again, overall, I think he played good. So it's something to build on. Because over the next now 11 weeks, these are the types of performances statistically we need to see from Tua. Obviously, we don't want him throwing 49 times a game. But then again, we decide never to run the football. So you got that going for you. So we are going to see him throw a bunch. We just need to see good decisions, crisp throws, push the ball down the field, and score touchdowns. Put points on the board. They left too many points on the board yesterday. I'm recording this on Monday night, by the way. Too many points left on the board. We can go back to the drive where they were up 7-0. And they were driving down the field. Savon Ahmed had a 9-yard run to the 1-yard line. Penalty flag thrown. This was from the 10, by the way. Penalty flag thrown. Austin Jackson holding. Pushes the ball back. Big problem. Massive problem. Because that sets him back to the 20-yard line. Drive stalls out. Dolphins are forced to kick a field goal. It's only 10-0. Problem. Next time, they're driving down the field. Tua gets him in the red zone. Gets a third down call. Throws the ball to Myles Gaskin. Drops it. Incomplete. Team has to settle for a field goal. Too many instances where the team just shoots themselves in the foot. And it's kind of been the MO this season. Team, you know, has been moving the ball at times. Not much in regards to Jacoby Brissett, but with Tua, they do move the ball very well. But they shot themselves in the foot. Long story short, and related to Tua Tagovailoa, he masks a lot of the issues that this team has from an offensive perspective. Look at Jacoby Brissett for those three games. Now look at Tua yesterday. Look at Tua from week one. Because the Bills game wasn't really much of a sample size. Although he, you know, the offensive line gave us enough of a sample size that game. Like 8 or 9 sacks allowed, whatever. He masks a lot of issues and flaws, particularly the offensive line. When you look at those pass block, when you hear those pass block grades for the offensive line, you'd think, man, Tua got obliterated behind that line. He was not sacked once. Quick decisions, get the ball out of your hand, slide in the pocket, make decision with your legs, run the ball. All of it, again, good. he needs to build on this to continue to tell the team, you don't need to make any moves at this position. I'm your guy. And then go from there. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk a little bit more in regards of other players on this football team and what they did or didn't bring to the table. I could tell you that I was a huge fan of Mike Gesicki. And it still baffles me that the Miami Dolphins do not have this man signed to a long-term extension. Part of me thinks their plan is they are going to tag him. But when you tag him, you're going to pay him over $10 million regardless. Which, he's worth the money. The man is worth the price of admission. He had 4 catches of 20-plus yards in that game against Jacksonville. And that was the most by any tight end in the NFL this season. And he continues to hum along with Tua back in the fold. After week one, when he did not have a single solitary catch, he has now come on significantly for this offense. Sitting now at the season at 30 catches for 342 yards and a touchdown. Touchdown was against the Colts. But 8 catches for 115 yards? Sign me up. Every week. You can't let a guy like this go. You can't let this kind of talent go. He's 26 years old. Just turned 26 a couple weeks ago. Sign him. Bring him back. He needs to be here. Tua and Mike Gesicki work really well together. You can't break that kind of thing up. Continuity is key when it comes to the offense and playmakers. Mike Gesicki is our biggest playmaker, and I don't even think that's up for debate right now. Hands down, the guy. Can't let him go. All right, we got to talk about Brian Flores and the coaching staff. I'm trying not to have your ears bleed while talking about this, but we have to talk about it. Biggest takeaway from Brian Flores' press conference was he was asked 2 really big questions. The first one was, in talking to a couple of the guys yesterday, this being press, talking to Mike Gesicki and Emmanuel Agba, they were saying that you guys are so close. What do you need to do to go from so close to getting there? Brian Flores' response, quote, I think it's work. I think they are right. I think there are a handful of things in every game where the ball bounces this way, the ball bounces the other way. We get a call, we don't get a call, we make a call, we make the play, make the tackle, we make a block, we spring somebody, and it's a different ball game. Again, that's what I mean by, and they understand this, there's a very slim margin for error here in this league, and that's for all teams. That's the beauty of the league. We understand that. We've got to do a better job. I've got to do a better job of limiting the errors, I believe that should read, that are showing up, that are ultimately costing us. Penalties, pre-snap penalties. There's things like spacing in the pass game. Some things defensively from a run fit standpoint, there's just very little things that are the difference between a guy getting 3 yards and a guy getting 6 yards. We've got to do better in all those situations. Okay, fine. I'll take that as a response. That's fine. Next question was, you had a long list of players who weren't able to play yesterday. I'm wondering if there were any guys who were close to playing and are looking very positive for this Sunday. Or, for that matter, are there any guys who might wind up on IR? His response, quote, I don't think anyone, I don't want to speak out of turn, but X, Byron, Shaheen, Preston, Devontae, I don't see any of those guys going on IR. But we are day-to-day with all those guys. I think we'll just see how it goes in practice. We'll see if we can get them back on the practice field on a limited basis. Although some of those guys practiced last week. Byron practiced last week. Preston practiced a little bit last week. X did not. Devontae did not. Shaheen practiced. I think the guys who practiced are probably a little bit closer than the guys who didn't. But obviously, we'll know more. They've got today and tomorrow to treat and rehab, and we'll just take it a day at a time. A lot to digest, but let me start with the first one. Guys say, the guys being Emmanuel Agba and Mike Gesicki, say they are so close. And then Brian Flores' response, it's all about fundamentals, this and this and this. One big thing that really chaps my behind right now when it comes to Brian Flores, his first 2 years as the head coach of this football team, the Miami Dolphins were one of the least penalized teams in terms of total penalties and total yards. This team is so undisciplined, they are costing the team points, and in some instances, they're costing the team the game. It's just something that can't happen over and over and over again. What happened to the TNT wall? What happened to the takes no talent? Just because things got better over the course of your first 2 years, you got away from your principles. It's silly, yes. You drop a ball, you go run to the wall, and you run back. That's discipline. There's just a big lack of it on this football team. It's frustrating to watch, especially when you're costing your team points. Yes, I'm talking about you, Austin Jackson. For the most part, it's always him. Big play after big play happened week after week holding Austin Jackson. It's amazing to me. But he's not the only one. There's a lot of guys struggling, and it's frustrating. It's very frustrating to watch. You can't have it. You just can't. And speaking of the coaching staff and Brian Flores and company, this had to be the absolute worst coaching performance I have seen in a very long time. A challenge that should never have been thrown on the Myles Gaskin incomplete. It was clear the ball was on his hip. That means his hand's not under the ball, but they challenged it. I don't disagree with the challenge on the punt. And it was also the wrong call, because it's clear that there was no space between the football and the guy's finger. Agnew's finger was touching the football. And if that call goes the right way, that's a touchdown for Miami. The game's over. But it wasn't, because it's too close. They couldn't change it because there's not enough evidence that stated that the ball was touched. But in my opinion, the ball was touched. That's neither here or there. But the fact that he left the team with one timeout, two challenges in a span of less than 2 minutes, both too close for comfort, really put the team in a bad spot. And then situational awareness, again, takes no talent. If Brandon Jones, and I understand you do this 150,000 times every day, a player hits the deck, you touch him, plays dead. But in that instance, knowing that there was very little time left, you don't touch him. Let the clock expire, then touch him. But they gave them a chance, and the guy made the field goal. It's the takes no talent. All that, where'd it go? It's gone. The other piece, too, regarding Xavien Howard and Devontae Parker, both didn't practice. He hinted that if they didn't practice last week, it's not likely we'll see him this week. But not going on IR. Man, it's rough. It's rough being a Miami Dolphins fan. That's we just don't know where things are going to go. This is a 5-game losing streak. The season's slipping away. You got Atlanta coming up on the dock. You got the Buffalo Bills on the road. Usually never a good thing. Then you have Houston, Baltimore at home. And then you got the Jets, Carolina, the Giants after the bye week, or before the bye week, I'm sorry. Then Jets, Saints, Titans, and Patriots. There's a lot of winnable games, but I'm not even going to say that anymore, because obviously none of these games are winnable. The Jaguars game, winnable. Indianapolis, winnable. Vegas game, winnable. All losses. There's a lot to digest. We're going to have everything for you here at DolphinsTalk.com every single week, every single day, I should say. Be sure to check out our website. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom. Be sure to follow the main page at DolphinsTalk. We're going to have shows for you each and every day this week leading up to the game against the Atlanta Falcons from Hard Rock Stadium. And hopefully the ship can get righted and the Miami Dolphins can get a W to try to get this season back on track, but it is slipping away, and there is very little room for error for the rest of the season. The Miami Dolphins have to be flawless in every aspect, and that starts with Brian Flores. He needs to get his act together and get this team moving in the right direction. I hope everybody has a great day, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.